this live extra special episode of Fictional Hangover, we celebrate our 100th episode by discussing the short story Heads Will Roll by Lish McBride.
Hey everybody, welcome to Fictional Hangover Live, a podcast about young adult and new adult books, series and authors that is full of spoilers. I'm Claire.
And I'm Amanda.
And today we're going to discuss Heads Will Roll by Lish McBride.
Standard disclaimer, if you haven't read this story, please remember that Fictional Hangover is all about spoilers. If you haven't read it and don't want to be spoiled, stop what you're doing and go read the story right this minute.
It's and then come back.
But wait, don't leave. Don't leave us. Okay. Please. If you haven't done this but want to pretend that you have, or if you don't care about spoilers, or if you're just so excited to join us on our live episode that you don't care about any of that, then listen up. I don't have words.
The internal screaming is as loud as the external screaming.
It is. And since my computer crashed, I had things open and ready to share, and now they're not open anymore. Oh,
this is so unbelievably on brand.
It really truly is.
I'm too scared to move in case a wire gets pushed or pulled or when...
I know. I'm afraid it's gonna crash again right now. Oh my gosh. If it does, sorry guys, we'll come back.
Yeah, we will try. We have had a comment saying, well done, you made it through the disclaimer without messing up.
Yeah.
You know what? You do that every week. You do not mess up that disclaimer. And you usually say it in less than a breath.
That's true. I did try to slow down my speech a little bit today. Because otherwise it's just like this. I'm talking really, really fast and no one can understand what I'm saying.
Chipmunk speed. This is how we roll. We roll at chipmunk speed.
Yes. So, Claire, it's our 100th episode.
Yay!
Oh my gosh.
Can you believe 100 you've read? For me. Yes. 45 for me?
Something like that.
Something like 45 and a half because I was a guest.
And a half. Yes.
45 and a half, yes.
Yes.
Yes. But that's more than 45 and a half books. And it's more than 100 books for you read.
Yes. Yes. Some of them have been complete series. Some episodes have had multiple books.
Yeah. Yeah. House of Night series was 3 books each episode.
Yeah.
And then we did the novellas, which was 4.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a lot. Oh, I guess I should warn everyone. There's going to be lots of terrible sounds coming from my end because, of course, there's construction right across the street from my house. So get ready for dump trucks, y'all. They're coming.
Y'all. You yelled us.
I did. They're coming.
Y'all. See, at least I'm in, like, pitch black outside and there's no construction work.
Yeah. Well, it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon for me, so everyone's busy driving their dump trucks around town.
That's just so inconsiderate. You would have thought, you know, when the event was posted, they're going, let's not go near Amanda's house. Let's be considerate for, an hour and a half.
No, it's not happening.
What douches. We have people watching us. Hello.
I'm so happy. Hi, everyone.
Monitoring the comments, so if anybody does put anything in, I will hopefully get to you. So thank you
Excellent.
Very, very much.
Yes, that'll be nice.
Shall we dive into the summary?
Yeah, we should. So we're going to begin the summary with the story's blurb, because it's a good place to start.
Also, I like the word blurb.
Yes, blurb is a good word. Okay, Lena's not your typical animal trainer. And when she and her unicorn partner, Steve, decide to enter a fight, it's definitely not your typical fight. So, Lena and Steve have just arrived at a warehouse, warm after the chilly night outside. Lena approaches a man at the door, gives her name and Steve's stage name, Phantom, and they enter, prepared to fight. Or at least they pretend to be. They've got other plans up their leg warmers.
I can just see these neon leg warmers.
Yes, they are definitely neon.
'80s style It's amazing. Okay. Their past guard standing by, Steve telepathically shares his thoughts with Lena that the guards have the minds open like cesspools. The first time he spoke inside her mind, she thought she had a brain tumour. Understandably so. But she's used to it now and can converse with him using her mind too. And he shows his appreciation by filling her head with sunshine.
Aww.
They also pass by a yaoi. Probably smells like a cesspool.
Probably does. Yaois do not smell good, guys. They do not smell good. They make it to the stalls. Steel and concrete with heavy doors and locks. That seems ominous. But remember, they have plans up their leg warmers. And they're sticking with them. Their plan is to free all the creatures filling these stalls, but not just by simply opening their doors. Lena gets Steve ready, takes off his leg warmers, because yes, he really truly is wearing leg warmers, and removes the blanket covering him.
Steve is 18 hands of pure white unicorn. Literally pure. That's rare. He's such a good guy. Most fighting unicorns, not so good. To have a fighter, you have to start torturing them young. So fighting and anger is all it knows. Unless you have one that can think, like Steve. A gangly teenager outside the stall is shocked by Steve. His name is Jonah. Steve thinks Jonah is a good kid, so Lena gives him all the money she has on her and tells him to leave the warehouse for the night. Then she finishes getting Steve ready for the fights. A judge comes by and tells Lena that Steve will fight in the third round.
Lena goes to watch the first rounds. The fights take place in a big room of the warehouse inside a giant, magically warded cage, surrounded by bleachers full of onlookers. The first fight was between a harpy and a manticore. The harpy won, but didn't kill the manticore. She just gored him with her talons.
Nice.
Gross.
You've got to respect the lady who can do that.
Yes. The second fight was between a minotaur and a wepawet. Wepawets weren't normally fighters, though. They're typically guides to the underworld. He won the fight, but he didn't kill the minotaur either. As he leaves the arena, he stares into Lena, probably judging her soul's heart. Even though that's more Osiris's job, but that's another story for another day. I just feel like I need to constantly get closer and stare. Judging.
Always judging.
Anyway.
Yeah. So it's time for the third round, Phantom Steve's round. He's up against a Weehala, an Arctic wolf bear with ice powers. I always say that wrong, and you always tell me off, and you can't edit it out this time. Weehala.
But I got to use my sound effect, so it was great.
He's up against a Weehala, an Arctic wolf bear with ice powers. He freezes the floor, but Steve won't have that. He melts the ice with his horn. Then the Weehala slams into Steve. The Weehala is disorientated after that. Seems woozy. Tilts his head at Steve. But then he falls over. The fight is over already? What an outrage.
Awful.
It's terrible. Awful. I paid good money to bet on these murders.
Yeah.
The Weehala's handler comes in, kicks him, and then gets his leg ripped off and he's eaten for the pleasure. Phantom Steve asked him to throw the fight and he'd set him free. So that's what the whole leg warmer thing was all about the whole time.
So that was the plan. Oh my gosh.
Yep.
The crowd, however, does not know that this was the plan. And everyone is in a frenzy. Yay! Someone finally died!
Yay! Ah! Blood!
Who cares if it was a handler and not a creature? Whatever. We don't care.
I prefer that.
We paid for murder. Lena jumps on Steve's back as they gallop out of the arena. She pulls a bronze rod from her jacket that shinks out into a spear and screams a battle cry. Her jacket becomes a cape of swan feathers, and a bronze circlet appears on her head. Yes, friends, that's right. She's a Valkyrie, and it's awesome. They dash back to the kennels and set all the creatures free. There's a Hydra, 2 centaurs, a chimera, 3 hellhounds, the minotaur, maybe a chupacabra, and that Wepawet, and lots of others.
The Wepawet communicates telepathically with Lena. They talk about her being Valkyrie, or, you know, half Valkyrie. Her father, he's a mechanic. She asks what he'll do now that he's free, but he's not quite free yet. He borrows her spear to remove the cuffs that were on his wrists. They were restricting his powers, and with their removal, can reach into the other world and pull out his scimitars.
Yes.
He's got several people to lead to the underworld after this evening and leaves, telling Lena that if she ever needs a favour, she just needs to call for Ed.
Ed the Wepawet.
Ed!
I think we need Ed today. Ed!
Yes. Solve our technical fault, please. I hate being cursed.
Lena and Steve walk out of the warehouse, leaving the carnage behind them. They know that the fights will die down for a little while, but that they'll start up again eventually, and you know what? They'll be back when they do. Following behind them is the Wahila. And then Jonah shows up too. Lena decides to bring both of them along with her and Steve. It's her day to pick up strays, apparently. Steve reminds her that she was a gangly teenager once, too, and that she grew into her potential. Now she's a role model for Jonah. They all straighten their spines, including the Wahila, and Steve whips his mane around like a woman in a hair commercial, and they stride off into the sunset. Well, not really, because sunset's not for another couple hours, but you get the idea. And that's the end!
I love that story!
Me too! It's so good! I love it.
Yeah. It actually gave me a taste to want to read the series now.
Yes. I'm excited. Yes. We're going to cover it eventually. Let's not talk about that right now.
No. But we will let everybody know it is free. It is a short story. It is 0.5 of the series, so it will not ruin anything. You have not been ruined. We actually haven't spoiled much with this.
No.
Whoa.
Whoa.
And if you are watching, the link is in the comments, but it is also on the event. We post it pretty much absolutely everywhere, so you have access to it.
Yes.
It's very exciting.
So shall we discuss? We need to discuss it, like, actually go through the things that we're supposed to talk about instead of just rambling for an hour if we can possibly not.
The things we consider and take in whilst we read the book. Okay, what was your favorite moment?
I really enjoyed all of the mythological creatures, especially Ed the Wepawet, and that his name was Ed.
Do you think it stands for something a little bit more dramatic and, like, Egyptian than Ed?
I really hope not. I hope that it's just regular old just Ed. Not Ed. Even, like, short for Edward.
Yeah.
Just Ed.
Yeah.
Just Ed.
I agree. I completely agree. You know what I like with an innocuous name? I love it. Which is why I absolutely loved Steve, the unicorn being called Steve, and being a badass unicorn. You have far too much power, young lady.
I know, it's great. Since I can't edit, I have to do something. That's all I got going for me in my life. Editing. Can't edit. Gotta add cheesy sound effects. So, Unicorn Steve is your favorite
Unicorn
thing.
Steve. But also, I really like the fact, and okay, so we have talked about Jared Padalecki a lot lately.
Yes.
But, I mean, I'm not going to say too much because I don't think that's actually possible. No, it's not a thing. It doesn't exist.
Mm-mm. No.
But having all of these different mythological creatures, like you say, really has given me the urge and the need to watch Supernatural.
Yes.
Because it's just this mishmash of monsters of the week. It could be a chupacabra. It could be a fury. It could be, well, it could be, you know, a whippoorwill.
A yowie.
Anybody. A yowie. I love a yowie.
I'm surprised they haven't fought a yowie on Supernatural. Have they?
There's been like 15 seasons.
Yeah.
There's a good chance they have, and there's a good chance they haven't, because there's a lot of cryptoids out there in the world.
Yeah, there are. But yowies, they just smell so bad, so it would be perfect. It would be a perfect setup for a joke. Just to have smelly yowie.
I thought you were setting yourself up for a joke.
No, I'm not
there.
Setting myself up for a joke. It would be a perfect setup for a joke. Lots of, you know, smelly bad situations. What? I don't know. I'm sorry.
I think we need to get like yowie smell in common lexicon or something like that. But yes, anyway, it gave me the urge to watch Supernatural. It's got that that feel to it. You can imagine like Sam and Dean placing bets on who's going to win, like Lena and Steve Phantom, or, you know, the handlers.
Yeah, and that it's not Lena, it's going to be Charlie.
Yes, we'll have to get some Felicia Deer in there. We do love us some Felicia Deer.
And then Castiel is hanging around outside, not understanding what's going on.
Right.
Sounds about right. I don't know.
Just wandering around in a trench coat.
Too bad there's not many more episodes left. We can't submit this to them. We could act it out ourselves, though.
Yeah. What are you doing for cosplay this week?
Hard to say. I did just buy some white feathers, though.
Oh, not leg warmers.
No.
Darn.
I've already got those. So, if Steve the Unicorn was your favorite part, what then is your least favorite part of the very short story that we read?
It's really difficult because it's a tight story. It's a very, very well done, tight short story. That there's not necessarily a least favorite. I didn't like the handlers, obviously. I didn't like them.
Yeah.
They were douchebags. It's probably that.
Yeah, I agree. I did not like the Wahila's handler. And I'm glad that he got his leg ripped off and that he was eaten. But can I tell you that I spent far too much time trying to find a word that means to have your leg violently ripped off? You know, like decapitate is to take your head off.
Dismember.
But just your leg specifically. Delegitate is what I've come up with.
Delegitate. I like that. I like that. Okay, if you're watching, can you come up with a word for Amanda where it means your leg is
violently removed? Not like amputating.
That's
no, not like that. No.
Okay. Okay. Challenge for the comments, because we are having comments. Colin says that apparently yowie smells like stale fart trapped in a dirty diaper. That's a well considered answer.
Yes, I agree with this.
Yeah.
We need to have a shirt. We need to have a shirt. We haven't added a new shirt to the shop in a while. We need to add a shirt, and it's a yowie. And, you know, he's got like a goofy look on his face because they're like Sasquatches, but not smart. So it's a yowie with a cloud of gas coming out of his behind, and it's green, and it says, smell a yowie. Everyone wants to
wear
this
t-shirt.
Right?
Everyone wants a fart t-shirt.
Everyone wants that kind of t-shirt. I don't like that word.
We've had a suggestion come in for you. Legoctomy.
Legoctomy. That kind of sounds a little bit surgical, though. It needs to be more violent.
Violent. Violent with blood. Like, so violent that you would be hit with the wet stumpy end.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That's the challenge of the week, then.
Yes. Okay. So, did you have a favourite character?
I like Lena. I mean, obviously she led the narrative, but I liked her. She obviously had something about her that attracted Steve.
Yeah.
And she obviously has, like, a well-defined moral compass.
Okay.
So, I kind of liked her. And I like the fact that she was a Valkyrie. Yes. So I'm going to dip into surprises and actually say I wasn't expecting her to be Valkyrie. I knew there was something special about her. I didn't know what it was. And the fact it was a Valkyrie made me go, ooh, ooh, pleasantly surprised. I like that.
Yeah.
I do. Thank you, Tessa Thompson, for making me like Valkyrie so much.
Yeah. She's a fantastic Valkyrie.
I would be a Valkyrie with Tessa Thompson.
Yes. Yeah, I would too. I definitely would too. We're getting way ahead of ourselves here.
We are. We're also getting some lovely names for you for the loss of leg.
Leggy rip rip. I like leggy rip rip.
We've had a limberate, like eviscerate, but limb from John. Delegistration from Colin. And Constance, leggy rip rip.
I like leggy rip rip. That's very good.
Yeah.
I do like a limberate too. It's good.
Ooh,
it's very
we've
good.
Also had, talking about least favourite pieces as well, Richard has said least favourite bit was the overuse of the word wepawet.
Yeah.
Sorry, Richard, we keep using that word wepawet as well.
Yeah, and also
only because,
we don't know if we're saying it correctly.
Yeah,
either.
I didn't know if I was pronouncing it right. Bit like Hermione and Harry Potter, pronounced it Herm-e-un for years. I can't even say that. Hermione.
Well, it's a good thing that Hermione explained to Victor Crumb how to pronounce her own name in Goblet of Fire.
It's Hermione.
Hermione. It's Hermione.
So, who was your favourite character?
Ed.
Ed?
Uh-huh. I'm not going to say what he is, though, in case I say it wrong. But Ed. Yeah. Ed's my favourite.
I want to know when he comes back.
I know.
Do you know, it's like she's just walking down the street and she sees somebody, like she's chasing after somebody, and the person happens to be called Ed. And she's going, Ed! Ed! And then suddenly this wepawet just sticks the head, like, through some kind of mystical circle and goes, yes?
Hello? Can I help you? Yes.
That was, that would be really awkward. It's like,
oh, you. Not you. Not you. I don't want to. You come back later.
And then he'll send you really awkward texts like, do you need me today? I'm free. Or
yeah.
Saturday. I'm good all next week. And then it just kind of gets a little awkward and a bit too needy.
Yeah, and you're like, hey, Ed, I'll call you when I need you, okay?
Yeah.
Give me a break.
Yeah. Or do you think if you see his name, like, it's like status, like, you know, there's always that somebody, a person in your life who you're cursed with. And if you say the name three times, they're suddenly like, appear.
Mm-hmm. But if you say Ed's name one time, he'll appear.
Yeah.
Or so we are writing in our own fan fiction. We don't know.
We always write our own fan fiction.
We make shit up all the time. Excuse me.
Right. Okay. Get on with your Ed and your
yes.
Egyptian
That's it.
Mythological creatures.
Yeah. That's why I like him. I read about, you know, some
Egyptian
mythology.
We're getting wrong for gaslighting Ed, by the way.
What?
We're getting wrong for gaslighting Ed. Sorry. Oh.
Sorry. So, you already mentioned what you were surprised by.
Yes.
I have not. I was surprised that Jonah, the random guy, gets to join in. I feel
the gangly
like,
youth, yeah.
Yes, the gangly youth. I feel like they are very, you know, lone wolfy, except for not because there's two of them.
Lord Unicorn-y?
Yeah.
Unicorn of two?
A unicorn of two, a bicorn.
Well, it's a very Sam and Dean thing, and then suddenly Castiel turns up.
That's true. That's true. But then there's also the Wahila that tags along, too.
Yeah.
So who's that? What's the last guy? Jack?
Adam.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, we need to stop talking about Supernatural, lest we only talk about Supernatural from now on.
That's a special for another day.
Yes. That's going to go on our Patreon that we're going to create eventually. Just us talking about Supernatural.
Yes, please.
It's fine. It's fine. Okay. So that's all the stuff that we normally talk about.
Yes.
But there were some questions, or not really questions. There were things that were mentioned in the story, if you read it. And I had some questions about them.
Okay.
It's mentioned in the story that Lena and Steve travel around in their trailer to go to these fights. And while they're traveling in their trailer, they're listening to audiobooks. So,
after our own hearts.
I know. Like, I feel like reading that, we both probably went, oh.
Yeah.
Squee.
They're so, us! Except less unicorn-y.
So, I want to know what one book or narrator or author or whatever you would recommend that Steve and Lena listen to. I know it's tough, and I'm sorry.
I'm going to go off YA. I'm going to go out of the realms of YA. I'm sorry.
What?
I'm not even going into the realms of new adult. Sorry. I'm going somewhere else. And I'm going to go for the series that I tend to recommend pretty much all the time.
Okay.
You know where I'm going. They're behind me right now. The Dresden Files by Jim Butcher. Audiobook narrator is James Masters. Yes, that's right. Spike from Buffy is the audiobook narrator. And my God, it's like chocolate in the ears without the calories. It's delicious. It's warm. It's inviting. It's not a horrible British accent done on purpose, which is still good. They are fantastic books. And Jim Butcher tries to kill Harry Dresden all the time. And you know how we like an author to try and kill off their protagonist. I'm we looking do. At you, Bridget Tyler, actually killing your main character in the...
We do enjoy that.
In the prologue. But yeah, he's not afraid to torture the main character. So I completely am going to say the Harry Dresden Files, a Jim Butcher audiobook narrator, is James Masters. It's got a little bit of the mythology, but it's also got like a little bit of mystery to it.
Yeah.
It's like... It's a little bit supernatural as well. I'm sorry. But yeah, that's where I'm going with. What about you?
I am going to go with anything narrated by Steve List.
Shock! This is my shocked face. You cannot name a particular book. What? Think about it, people, in the comments. You know, do you have any suggestions as well?
Yeah.
Which one in particular? You can't just say Steve West. I mean, you can, but you can't.
Well, I can because I can. But also because his name is Steve.
Okay. Tenuous, but I like it.
And, you know, I'll probably, like, go for Elaine Taylor. I always recommend Strange the Dreamer to everyone. I know.
I'm just going to get my shocked face.
But it's a really good story. I enjoy it. And
well, that's
I think
it. You're going to recommend
West
a book that you enjoy.
Voice is made of magic. Steve West's voice. I didn't say it right. See, I do it to myself, too. Steve West's voice is made of magic. So everyone should go and listen to a Steve West book right now.
I would love to get Steve West on the podcast, but I don't know if we've scared him off.
I
think we might have. I'm going to dip into the comments because we have had some people who have said, Annie, hello, you are late, but
hi.
Please,
we're glad
your cocktail
here.
Is lovely. What kind of cocktail do you have? I'm interested. Collins, go Harry Dresden. John said yes, replying to Constance. I don't know what they're replying about. They're talking Supernatural and Animal Crossing, so I'm there, yeah. Constance suggests Poison Study by Mariah V. Snyder and Perfect for Justice, Seeking Valkyrie. Richard suggests Becoming by Michelle Obama, and Constance also suggests, this is not a surprise, we get recommendations all the time of Constance, keep them coming,
yes,
please.
Yes, we do. Yes, we
Secret of the Sirens by Julie Golding, lots of mythical characters and fighting for environmental justice. Okay. I think they would like that, Steve, would like that.
I think so too. I really do. I really do.
Keep so the I suggestions coming as well, because other people
please
might
do.
Like them. Yeah.
And we might like to cover them eventually.
Yeah.
I have another question.
Yes.
In the story, Lena mentions that humans are probably not in Steve's top five favorite things.
Humans aren't in my top five.
Right. Steve, she thinks that Steve probably has humans below fungus on his list of favorite things. So I want to know what you believe to be in Steve's top five favorite things.
Five things. Do you want me to name five things?
Sure.
Hallmark Christmas movies.
No.
Why not? Tabletop gaming. Hang on, am I just talking about myself?
I think you're talking about yourself. Pretty sure you're talking about yourself.
Yoga?
You're definitely talking about yourself. What, audiobooks now?
Audiobooks.
And podcasting.
And podcasting. No, okay. Genuinely, I think. Okay, now I'm going to go with Hallmark romance movies.
Sure. Like,
yeah, let's go with Hallmark movies.
Okay.
Leg warmers.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. 80s punk rock music. Yeah. Has a guilty pleasure for, like, you know, murder mystery books, like, you know.
Like a cozy yeah. mystery, the ones with cats.
Yeah. What's that artist guy? Bob Chill with the one with, who had the afro.
Oh, yeah. What's his name, listeners? We're clearly blanking here.
Oh, yes.
With his happy little trees.
Yes. Okay, what are your five things?
My five things are Bob Ross. Thank you, Colin. Fruit smoothies.
Okay.
Tap dancing. Chasing squirrels.
Okay.
Movies with robots. Because who doesn't love a movie with a robot? And smelling yowies.
Oh, no. We need a sound effect for that one. Thank you, everybody, for giving us Bob Ross, yes, by the way.
Thanks, everyone, for yelling Bob Ross at us.
Yeah. John has said Prudence by Gail Carriger. Audio Ignorant is Moira Quirk. Yes, we love Moira Quirk.
Yes.
Colin says Steve likes Justice, like a four-legged Batman.
Mm-hmm.
And Richard suggests Unicorn Weekly Digest.
Good. Good. They're I want him to be on the cover awesome. At least once. Oh, the movie Flashdance. Oh. Yes, please.
Of course.
Excellent.
Richard's third suggestion will probably be Spice Girls.
I hope so. Okay, yikes. Is it time?
It's time. It is time.
Wow, that was loud. Pew, 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 pew. It is time for Would You Rather.
Whew. So, we asked on social media, would you rather your battle unicorn be called Steve? Or Phantom. And on Facebook, 33% said Steve, 67% said Phantom. On Instagram, 44% said Steve, 56% said Phantom. And on Twitter, Steve got 75% and Phantom got 25%. For once, wow. Twitter wasn't 50-50.
Wow. I'm really shocked by that. I really, really am, because it has been 50-50 for the past, like, 8 weeks.
Yeah. It's been quite freaky.
Yeah. Should we read some comments?
Yes.
Okay.
I pulled three comments from probably our most prolific commenters.
Yes.
So the first one is Headzilla on Twitter. Hello, Headzilla on Twitter. Phantom, the battle unicorn, is my mighty steed, racing through battlefields and forests alike, scaring squirrels and elephants from their perches high in the trees. Dang it, edit that out, you.
Can't do it. Can't Dang. Edit that out. Why are elephants Dang. In the trees?
Why this aren't elephants seem, in the trees?
This doesn't seem like a good thing to have in
Don't
trees.
Don't be elephantinist. Elephants can be in trees if they want to be in trees. You get elephant trees. Google it, it's a real thing.
Whatever. Constance. Hi, Constance.
Hi.
Constance said, Phantom all the way. My dad's name is Steve. I wouldn't feel as battle ready as I would on a Phantom. And I agree with that.
True. Mihil on Instagram. Hi, Mihil. Steve and only Steve forever and ever.
Yes. Okay. I agree with that. I know I just said I agreed with Constance, but that would be only if my dad's name was Steve. But my dad's name is not Steve, so I'm going to go with Steve as my unicorn's name because it's unassuming. You know, no one's going to
stealing my thoughts, woman.
No one's going to expect greatness, like powerful terror, from a guy named Steve.
Yeah, I completely agree. And we've said before, repeatedly, I love an innocuous name. Yes. And let's face it, if Phantom, the battle unicorn, is not dressed like the Phantom, made famous by Billy Zane in the movie Phantom, then what the hell is the point? If there is not a purple unicorn with the black burglar kind of, you know, eye thing going on, what's the point? I mean, I realise there's copyright infringement issues going on there, but still.
Yeah.
Steve all the way.
Yeah. I agree.
Next question.
Would you rather be a Minotaur or a Whip-a-Wet?
A Whip-a-Wet.
Why?
Not, boring answer. I'm not particularly really like a lover of the Minotaur mythology.
Okay.
I've never particularly liked it. It might have something to do with the Jim Henson storytellers, Greek myths. Mm-hmm. When I was younger, I have a lot of issues stemming from those programs. And I don't really want to live in a labyrinth.
Okay.
I would get confused. So I'm going to go with Whip-a-Wet. Seems a bit more interesting.
Yeah. I'm also going to go with Whip-a-Wet, but just so I can fit more easily through a doorway. Also, I have issues. I also have issues with bulls because of PC Cast.
Oh my gosh.
And her white bull. The black bull is fine. The black bull is peaceful and lovely, but the white bull is a ruiner.
That's because PC Cast told us about that removed scene, which was devastatingly horrid, but also the picture.
The picture, yes.
The novella.
Yeah, you can find that in our book club. Fictional Hangover Book Club. Everyone should go and join that if you haven't already. But you can find the lovely picture that we're referring to that looks... the white bull looks like a frightening vagina.
Constance in the comments knows exactly what we're talking about.
Yes, she does. Yeah. Yes, she does. And you should also go back and listen to all of our episodes about House of Night, especially the interview with PC Cast and the one that's coming up next week. Sorry, excuse me.
Terrible cough there.
It's bad. What's our next question?
Would you rather fight a harpy or a manticore?
I'm going to go with manticore just because I don't want to see harpy boobies flying around everywhere. And this harpy has her bosoms out, as most harpies do. And I don't want to... No. No. So, yeah, could you just imagine? And they're probably, like, dirty.
Oh.
Dirty bosoms.
Oh.
Dirty, saggy, dangling bosoms.
Gravity is not... a harpy's friend.
No, it's, you know, and they're probably up in the air a lot, and the gravity is just pulling them down.
Pulling them down, and because they're so stretched out, they'd be like flinging everywhere. You could they knock
would.
Somebody out.
They would.
You could knock yourself unconscious.
They're all over the place. So I don't want to find a harpy because of the dangling bosoms.
No. Thanks for the image of booby flapping, Constance. Yeah, okay, okay. I'm going to go the same because, I mean, as a person who could suffer from harpy issues, I don't want that from my end, never mind subjecting other people to it. So let's go manticore. Ooh.
Okay, yeah. I don't really have that problem.
Big flap of harpy titties. Thanks, Colin, on the comments.
Yeah.
We should never have said boobies.
No, we shouldn't. We should not have talked about boobies.
Let's move on.
Would you rather smell a yaoi or pet a Nemean lion?
Oh, is the Nemean lion like either Bee or Gorza, your cats?
No, they're much more vicious.
Oh, okay.
The lions, not Bee and Gozer. Bee and Gozer are not vicious.
Okay. I have a terrible sense of smell.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible. Like, yes. So I'm probably going to go with smelly yowie. Plus okay. The phrase, smelly yowie, mm-hmm. is utter perfection, and it needs to be on that t-shirt with really the yowie does. And really the little does. Pop.
It really does.
That's perfection. Smell a yowie. That phrase is going to come into my normal lexicon now. It's like,
mm-hmm.
you know, you walk past a dirty drain. It's like, oh, I can smell a yowie. No.
That's what I'm going to do too. I'm gonna smell a yowie, but only really because of our conversation last week about Pike, the pterodactyl.
Musk. And
we really.
It's musk. We wanted to smell musk.
Musk. Musk.
Oh, musk.
Lovely.
Yeah, musk. I just want to smell it. I just want to smell it. I don't know. I just want to smell
You'll
it.
You'll never forget the smell. It will stay with you for life. Forever. Forever.
Yeah, I want to smell it. Constance does not want to smell that.
No.
She says.
Colin wants to. Oh, ew, I put it with my own stench, so there's nothing that a yowie can bring I can't handle. That's not tasteful. Let's move on.
Let's please.
Would you rather be a Fury, a Morrigan, or a Valkyrie? Ooh. Or a harpy with flappy boobies.
I think I'm going to go with Morrigan. Because sometimes they turn into crows.
Okay.
And sometimes they're, when it's a one person and not a three people, she's a queen. So I feel like that's appropriate.
You're American. You're not supposed to go for a monarchy.
Why can't I be a queen?
You can be a crow princess. Queen. Do you want to be a pretty princess?
No, crow queen. Happening.
You could do your fame cosplay again and put a crown on.
I could, and I might.
Just for giggles.
Just for funsies. What about you?
Probably Valkyrie. Like I said earlier, Tessa Thompson really sells the Valkyrie shtick to me. And if I get to be a Valkyrie with Tessa Thompson. All the sweeter.
Yes.
All the sweeter.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Also, the Chris Hemsworth factor cannot be forgotten about.
That's not a terrible thing. Tom Hiddleston for me, though.
Yeah, I'm more Tom Hiddleston than I am Chris Hemsworth. But if I have to go with Chris Hemsworth over Tom Hiddleston, because that's the law, then fine.
Fine.
I don't make the rules. I follow them. I need to go at the happy place now.
Go on.
I'm back.
Okay.
Okay.
That's fantastic. Well, that's the end of Would You Rather.
Oh.
Aww. Oh. Thanks for joining in, everyone.
Yes, we've got some great answers going on in the comments. Please keep it going. Constance is going to be a Valkyrie with me, so yes. Justice. Love it.
Fine.
Love it.
Fine. Okay. So now it's time for our favorite final thought quip. Do you have one from the story?
I do. And I feel like I'm cheating because it's basically the last line of the story. But I did read it, honest. I just like it. Because it seems so apt for what we're doing right now.
Yes.
Sometimes you've got to go with what you got and make it look good.
Okay. Okay.
What about you?
I'm going to go with assume everything can tear off your face and you'll be okay.
That is a good thing to live by.
Yeah.
Especially if you're on safari.
Yes. Or especially if you're, you know, keeping a 6-foot distance from people.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh,
it helps.
No. Have we gone current again?
I guess. I'm sorry. I regret saying that. I feel like Debbie Downer on Saturday Night Live.
I'll let you off.
Okay, thanks. Thanks. So I believe now, since we're just going right through this, it's good because we'll have time for our game that we want to play with everyone. But now it is time for, if you liked this, try this.
Thank you, my minstrels. Thank you. Can't believe they came live just to do that. So nice.
I know.
Okay, so we've already said this is a short story. It's 0.5 of the Necromancer series by Lish McBride. So check that out. I'm not going to say anything more about it because I haven't read it myself. It is on my TBR list, though. What I am going to recommend is Blue Moon Rising by Simon R. Green. Now, this is not a YA or a new adult novel. I read it years ago, but it is a fantastic piece of fantasy literature. It is a series, and there's an offshoot series of Hawk and Fisher. But I would suggest start with Blue Moon Rising itself. And I've taken the summary from amazon.co.uk this time. Quests are overrated. All his life, Prince Rupert thrilled in the glorious exploits of his royal ancestors. Finally embarking on his own heroic journey, Rupert realises there's a lot the minstrels leave out of their songs. On the hunt for a mythological dragon, besieged by demons, and navigating the cursed dark wood with a smart-mouthed unicorn, that's the link. Rupert is becoming somewhat disenchanted with legends, but even if he succeeds, peril awaits, because the king never intended for his spare heir to return from this fool's errand. Now, with the help of a few unusual allies, Rupert must make up the story as he goes, outmaneuvering assassins, thwarting the voracious spread of the dark wood, and grappling with rumours of a powerful evil's return. Rupert may not be the hero Forest Kingdom wanted, but at this rate, he's the only one they're going to get. I love this story. I highly recommend it. It's a great fantasy. It's not too fantasy that it's not heavy. It's high fantasy, but it's not heavy fantasy. And I highly, highly recommend it. And Simon R. Green is a fantastic writer. So that's my recommendation. Do you have one for me, Amanda?
I do. Mine is called Warped by Marissa Gibbard. And I got my summary from Goodreads, and I've read this book too.
Yeah.
And it also has a tenuous link. Tessa doesn't believe in magic or fate, but there's something weird about the dusty unicorn tapestry she discovers in a box of old books. She finds the creature woven within it compelling and frightening. After the tapestry comes into her possession, Tessa experiences dreams of the past and scenes from a brutal hunt that she herself participated in. When she accidentally pulls a thread from the tapestry, Tessa releases a terrible centuries-old secret. She also meets William de Chaucy, an irresistible 16th-century nobleman. His fate is inextricably tied to the tapestry as Tessa's own. Together, they must correct the wrongs of the past. But then the fates step in, making a tangled mess of Tessa's life. Now everyone she loves will be destroyed unless Tessa does their bidding and defeats a cruel and crafty ancient enemy.
Ooh.
Yes.
Now, is this part of a series?
No, this is just a standalone.
Ooh, that's
standalone
even better.
Story, yes, featuring the Norn. Those are the fates. Mm-hmm. And Threads of Life.
Ooh, don't pull those threads.
Don't dangerous. Pull those threads. Terrible things are going to happen when you pull those threads. It's a good story.
Excellent. Excellent.
Yes. Wow.
That was our 100th book discussed. Yeah.
Yikes. Wow. 100. That's insane. It's insane.
Loco.
Yes. So.
What are we looking forward to? Exactly. What are we looking forward to? We've talked about this since year dot. We pretty much have 2021. Not down much packed.
Everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've added a few months. Sorry. Not sorry. Just to get some themes in. But
there's at least 42 months next year.
Just to cover the books, never mind include the themes. Yes. Jeebus.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to talking to lots more authors and voice actors. We've got some wonderful ones coming up next month. Next week.
Next week.
Even.
Cops back.
Next week and then the week after that. So I'm looking forward to that for sure.
Definitely.
And I want to talk to more. I like finding these new friends.
Cause yes.
After we talk to them once, then they're my friends forever.
Yes.
Yeah.
We don't stalk, honest.
No. No, so that's what I'm looking forward to, I think.
Yeah. No, I agree. I did not expect when you asked me to join the podcast that we would be talking to literally somebody every month, or some bodies actually every month. Like, it's been absolutely insane.
Yeah.
And a huge honor to talk to such creative and friendly and lovely people, honestly. So yes. But what I think I'm looking forward to is like the themes and the books we've got planned.
Yeah.
We've bandied this around for a little while, and we've got some good stuff coming that we're looking forward to. But we're always looking for recommendations, and we are willing to change things in our schedule if somebody throws something at us. So I'm looking forward to the 2021 themes. There are stuff coming up this year still that I'm very much looking forward to, but I'm kind of like going a bit further into the future as well.
So what theme, what one theme are you looking forward to most next year?
Oh, a single theme.
Yeah, just one.
Season of the Witch.
Ooh.
Which we are doing specifically for PC Cast and Kristen Cast, their new release of the Sisters of Salem's series. And we might have told them this. So the month that it is released is the month that will be the Season of the Witch. And there is another book that I'm desperately excited to add into it. And I actually was bought it for my birthday from my friend Joanne. So I'm very excited to read it. And it's Witches of New York by Amy McKay. It is behind me on my bookshelf.
So can I just tell you that if we do not talk about Blue is for Nightmares during that month by Laurie Frias de Lars, I think Constance might erupt in flames.
Either that or she won't send us these cookies we keep asking for.
Right.
What about you? Have you got a theme that you're looking forward to?
Fictional Hangover Theater 3000.
Yes.
Yeah, I really love a book that has been turned into a movie, regardless of how terrible the movie is. Yeah. I love it either way.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm looking forward to that. Plus, we got some good ones that we're going to cover whenever we do that month. Maybe, potentially, Vampire Academy?
I adore the Vampire Academy book. Well, movie. Wait. I've read the books. I adore them. I adore it. It's amazing enough.
Do you know what I guess I should say? Spoiler alert. We're going to talk about the entirety of Vampire Academy throughout the year because there are 12 books in the series and the spinoff. So, one Vampire Academy, a book a month.
What else? So we can't have more than 12 months in the year. That's fine. That's fine. That's fine. I will say, though, there is another theme. I'm just going to shoehorn in there. Something in right here, read a book with an alternative history, because I desperately want to read The Black God's Drums by P.J. Clark. It's been recommended by Miss Gail Carriger as well, and it just looks fantastic. Steampunk, New Orleans, airships, alternative history. It looks amazing, so I'm very much looking forward to that one as well.
Well, if you're going to talk about another one, then I'm going to talk about another one. I'm looking forward to Return of the Old Gods.
Yes!
So we can cover Anti-Goddess by Kendara Blake, because everyone knows how much I love Kendara Blake, and she's been on the show twice, and she needs to be on the show a million more times. So
yes, I need to meet Kendara Blake. This has to happen.
Yeah.
It has to happen. I can't have a guest that I haven't met yet. It has to happen.
Yes.
Them's the law.
Yes.
Them's the law.
So now, do we have time to play our game?
Yeah.
I think we do. Everyone, if you want to participate, grab a book.
Any book, a magazine even, just something that is got words.
Yes.
We knew we were going to play, so I've plucked three books from my shelf.
I have also grabbed books from my shelf.
And the books I've chosen are My Lady Jane by Cynthia Hand, Brodie Ashton and Geordie Meadows, who have been on the show and we have read the book. It's great. Read it. The Girl Who Could Move Shit With Her Mind by Jackson Ford, who is friend of the show, Jackson Ford. Snap! Which?
I'm not surprised that we both chose the same book. No. I'm really, really not.
No.
And I'm not surprised at all.
I went with a little bit of a wild card. I've actually got Guards, Guards by Terry Pratchett.
Oh. I chose, in addition to The Girl Who Can Move Shit With Her Mind.
Yeah.
The Raven Boys. The very first book featured on the podcast. And, shockingly enough for everyone, Vampire Academy. Okay, so I'm going to get rid of us and put our game up on the screen. You'll still be able to see us popping up every now and then, but we're not going to be the focus. So everyone, grab your book. And the way this game works, if you didn't see the little preview of it in the event that was posted earlier this week, what you will do is you will be given a prompt and you will find a passage, a line of text in your book that fulfills the prompt. And then we will share what they are. So everyone, give me just 1 second while I do some screen sharing. Ho ho! All right. Here we are. There we go. Bring your own book, A Game of Borrowed Phrases.
Yay!
And I hope that everyone has their books.
It is on the screen on the live, so grab a book, people.
Here is our first prompt. Where do babies come from?
Oh.
I'm going to set the timer.
Do we have to be... We don't have to be sensible. This is like Cards Against Humanity book edition, isn't it, really?
It is. It really, really is.
Oh. Oh, man. It's Pratchett, man. He's just born for liners. You ever wonder why you're not as hairy as everyone else?
Don't read your things out loud.
I'm not reading that. That's not what I'm going to be using, though. I like that one.
Okay, I think I found one. Oh, good, and we're almost out of time, too. Oh, time's up. Check it out. Oh, man. Okay.
I've got two quotes. The one quote is just not sensible for it, but I love it. Okay, do you want my answer?
Yes. Claire, where do babies come from?
He'd heard about children being reared by wolves.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
What's yours?
Can you ask me the question, please?
Where do babies come from?
The overpowering chemical scent of a manly shower gel.
Oh, God. You and Musk, honestly. Really? Far too much Musk going on in your life.
Oh, my God.
I need to read this quote out, though, because it's genius, and it's a long quote, so I'm sorry, but I have to read it out. It was long and shiny. It looked like something, some genius of metalwork. One of those little Zen guys who works only by the light of dawn and can beat a club sandwich of folded steels into something with the cutting edge of a scalpel and the stopping power of a sex-crazed rhinoceros on bad acid, had made and then retired in tears because he'd never, ever do anything so good again. I have no idea.
No, that was That's too much.
It's too much. It's not my answer. I'm going to stick with the wolf one, but I needed to read that out. Because the idea of sexed crazed rhinoceros on bad acid is just too good.
It's too...
We have one in the comments. Most of them seem to be to hang around in this nice, clean, shiny foyer immediately after hanging around in extremely dirty spaceports. Thanks, Colin.
That's a good one. That is a good one. Okay. So, who's the winner of that one? Oh. Us.
Always us.
Always us. Okay.
And the listeners. Oh, Candace. Louis went to work on everybody who was close to Frank. Ooh. Ooh. Candace. Ooh, I like that one.
Oh, yes. Oh, I love it.
I feel like I need to give people 30 more seconds to finish typing in their quotes because...
We probably do.
They were just delightful.
And, you know, there is a slight-ish delay, so we got to give them time.
Do, 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 do. Do we need to just do our random singing and dancing malarkey that we usually end up doing?
Oh, no. We got one from John. Jesus Christ, Doc, he was saying. You wouldn't believe the amount of blood. We're swimming in it here. Yeah, that's a winner. That is a winner. That is good.
Oh, John, you get the corn chicken dinner.
Excellent. Excellent. Oh, my gosh. Okay. Oh, here is our next one. Third place prize on a game show.
Oh, my goodness me. Okay, I'm going to change my book.
Yes, I am changing my book, too. Third place prize on a game show. Everyone find third place prize on a game show.
Oh, no. He's not laughing at your own, at the quote you've pulled. That's genius.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Which book are you using?
Vampire Academy.
Okay, that's fine. Oh, Richard's just answering the last one. For Christ's sakes, Rue, come to bed, Tom raged. Stop acting like an idiot. Nice. Thanks, Richard.
Excellent. Oh, man. We really need to play this game on Zoom.
We really, really do. Third place prize.
Third place prize on a game show, and time is almost up. Oh, and there it is. Time's up.
Okay, Amanda. What is the third place prize on a game show?
An old log to sit on near a scummy green marsh.
Holy special prize.
That's a terrible prize. What about you? What did you find to be third place prize on a game show, Claire?
Puberty. From the girl who could move shit with her mind on page 337 of my edition.
Excellent. Excellent. Puberty. I love it.
It's so good. You know, you just read these bits out, you're like, oh.
I know. I struggled. Oh,
my little stoned unicorn sticker. How appropriate would that have been?
That would have been perfect. I struggle with trying to find answers because I just want to keep reading the book.
That is the problem when you play these type of games. And this is why I've picked purposely different books so I'm not tied into just reading continuously. We have John says, it's the jar I toity in. I explained. Toity being the author's childhood slang for number one. John, what book are you reading, dude?
Nobody wants a jar of piss.
Toity.
It's a terrible, terrible prize.
Do you think a jar of toity smells like a yowie? I think it might smell like a yowie. Colin says, I have brought you the prisoners I located in the freezer by bay. Sorry, I have brought... Can I have the wah-wah sound for that? That was pathetic. Thank you. Colin said, I have brought you the prisoners I located in Freezer Bay 7, sir. And Richard said, well... You get a gold star.
These are all excellent, excellent third place prizes.
Ah, John is reading The Life and Times of the Thunderbolt Kid by Bill Bryson. It's one of his favourites. Excellent, excellent.
Good.
Love it. Oh my god.
Oh my. Shall we move on to our next question?
Yes. What is the next question?
And which is something. Something you can't believe you forgot until just now. I'm also switching books. Something you can't believe you forgot until just now.
Oh my god, you know when you know a book so well and there's a potential quote?
Yes.
But then you've got to find that quote. I'm using My Lady Jane.
This one I am using The Girl Who Could Move Shit With Her Mind. No. I don't even have to look for this one. It's perfect.
Oh, no. No. Have you got it already?
That's I've got shocking. It already. That I don't is shocking. Even, I don't even have to flip through the pages.
Oh, no. That's too boring. I don't want to use that one. Oh, no. That's good as well. Oh. I'm tempted to just use mind your own business.
That would be good. That would be good. Oh, time is almost up.
Oh no. Oh no.
Ah, oh, it is. Time's up.
I want to read the book though. Can I just sit and read the book?
No,
that's interesting entertainment, isn't it? Dang it.
Only if we read it out loud, but then that infringes upon copyright. So
plus,
we
the
not
audio
do that.
Book of My Lady Jane is absolutely fantastic. So I highly recommend listening to the actual audio book, not me just wittering on.
Oh. Okay. Okay.
Yes.
Claire. No. I'm already asking you, Claire. What is something you can't believe you forgot until just now?
Licking means eating. She thought. Licking. means eating. Comedy gold. This book is comedy gold.
It's good. Oh, it really is.
Amanda.
Yes.
What is something you can't believe you forgot until just now?
Throwing myself out the window of a skyscraper may not have been the best idea. That is literally line one of The Girl Who Can Move Shit With Her Mind. You know you want to read it.
Oh, yes. Yes. Colin says, don't panic. John says, I look like Barbara Stanwyck in Double Indemnity. And Richard said, are you a working girl or do you have a job? I think Richard's got that one.
Oh, excellent. Excellent.
That's amazing. That is it.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Do we want to keep going, or is that enough of our game for now?
Oh, let's have one more. Let's have one more. What do you want
to... Okay. One more. How you know it's the best party ever.
Terts. I'm just going to stick with this one, I think.
Oh, let's see.
Something to make grilled cheese if you've got the girl who can move shit with her mind.
There's grilled cheese in it. It's gotta be.
Cheese.
Gotta be.
I really want grilled cheese now.
Or only
cheese
if it's toasty floating.
If you're British. I had amazing cheese on toast earlier.
Nice.
With Gouda. It was delicious.
Nice. I wish I didn't make myself laugh all the time.
To be fair, we're always laughing at ourselves. Like
we do.
Sorry, I started reading the book. Is that really bad?
That is pretty bad.
Sorry.
It's pretty bad.
It's the time's up now as well.
Didn't even start the timer. Yeah, time's up, man.
Okay.
I didn't even start it. Look, there it is. Time's up.
Time's up, time's up, time's up. Okay.
Time's up.
We've taken that long. Somebody's actually already put a quote on
the
comments.
Gosh.
John says there must have been 800 spent matches on the floor. The fire marshal is threatening to arrest me for arson in my own house. What were you doing? And Candace said there were no inner doors on the ground floor. So Amanda, how?
Yes.
How do you know it's the best party ever?
Maybe you can go make out with that lamp over there. It's another excellent line from Vampire Academy.
This is why I can't wait to read it.
I know, it's so good. Claire, what about you? How do you know it's the best party ever?
There were a few reasons that explained why Jane was being taken to the tower in the middle of the night, and none of them were good.
Oh.
Richard,
we know what
says,
happened.
Sorry?
See, we know what happened in that tower.
We do. Just read the book. Okay, Richard said a spunky stack of muscular libido, outgoing, handsome, yummy. But I was far too bashful to let on. Richard, what are you reading, dude? Have you got your erotica out again? Or have you been on my shelves?
Oh, so good. So good. So I will say, we're gonna stop the game for now. But if you enjoyed playing that game, pretty sure I've got at least 200 more questions that we can go through together.
At least.
If you want to play. So we should play in a Zoom, I think.
I think it might be fun as well to post these ones on the Fictional Hangover Book Club.
Yes. Yeah, that would also be good.
Yeah. And we'll get our responses on there as well.
Yes.
Who won that last one? I think Richard might have taken this game, you know.
I'm pretty sure that Richard is the winner.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he is.
He's reading My First Five Husbands and the Ones That Got Away by Rue McCallahan.
Excellent.
Oh, Candace said, that's not enough questions. I think you need more.
You'll just have to join us. You'll have to join us on another day and we will play more of this fantastic game. 200 more rounds. Oh, man. Wow. I really feel like we should begin to wrap up this episode.
Probably.
But
it's been fun. I will admit to being slightly nervous before we started.
Yeah. Yeah, especially when my computer decided that it needed to restart.
But it's not Fiction Hangover if we don't have a technical curse.
That's true. That's true. If we're not cursed, it's not Fictional Hangover.
And to be fair, I think we started at like 9:01, which for live streams, that seems pretty excellent to me.
Yeah, but with me and my need for everything to work perfectly, I had started like 5 minutes early so we could just be sitting here bantering while people are loading in and joining us. But then the world exploded.
Oh, it's typical, though. It's typical.
It is.
Can I ask, would you do this again?
Would I do a live again? Sure.
Yeah.
Yes, 100%. This is a lot of fun. As long as we have people who are joining in and watching us.
We will bribe you to watch, please.
Yeah. What about you?
Yes.
Good.
Definitely for special events. I think it's been ruddy good fun.
I think so too.
So yeah, I think it would be fun. Especially the game. I really enjoyed the game, so I'd love to set up a Fictional Hangover Zoom thing.
Yes, we have a Zoom party.
We do have the Zoom. We have the technology. We can do this.
Yes, we can. Oh my gosh. So I don't know if everyone who is watching got to watch from the very beginning. But if you missed out on some of our live, you will still be able to download the audio of the episode tomorrow, just like every other week, wherever you listen to podcasts. And there's going to be a little bit of bonus content thrown in at the end.
Yes. You'll also be able to see this bonus content across our social medias throughout the week. And from me and Amanda, who got some surprises, thank you to everyone that helped out with that. I am unbelievably grateful, and let's just say it's worked perfectly.
Yes. Yes, I was very excited to see all of these messages coming through.
Literal goo.
What up, it's Jackson Ford. You are listening to the 100th episode of Fictional Hangover, the single greatest book podcast on the planet. Make sure you stick around for the next 100 episodes. It is going to be banging. I'm out. Peace.
Hi, this is Gail Carriger, and I want to wish Fictional Hangover a very, very happy 100th episode. Congratulations. Very exciting.
Hello, Fictional Hangover. Congratulations on your 100th episode. May you have many more to come.
Hey, Amanda. Hey, Claire. It's Corey. I just wanted to say congratulations from the bottom of my heart for hitting 100 episodes. That's huge. Can't wait to hear everything in the future. I look forward to it, truly. Congratulations again. You guys are awesome.
Congrats to Claire and Amanda and the Fictional Hangover podcast on their 100th episode.
Here's to 100 more.
Best wishes from the Blue Stocking Circle podcast.
Cheers!
Hey, Claire and Amanda, this is Caitlin Davies. I wanted to congratulate you both on Fictional Hangover's 100th episode. Woohoo! Thank you so much for inviting me onto the show. I had so much fun talking with you about all things House of Night. Here is to 100 more. Congratulations.
Hey, Amanda and Claire, this is Kate Rudd. Congratulations on reaching such an amazing milestone, 100 episodes of Fictional Hangover. We are so happy that you're out there unpacking and examining stories and having fun doing it. And I wish you hundreds more great episodes to come. Congratulations. Well done.
Claire and Amanda, it's Jesse Valinsky. Congratulations on 100 episodes. This is amazing. You guys are so funny and witty, and your love and support of all things fiction and audiobooks is more than appreciated. I am so happy to have been a part of your journey toward 100 episodes, and I cannot wait to hear the next 100. Congratulations, you guys.
Hey guys, this is Steph. I am so excited that you guys are doing your 100th episode. I have loved the podcast from the very beginning and watching Amanda's dream come alive and seeing how amazing Claire has become in addition to this show. I am so happy for you guys. Congratulations.
This is January Lavoie, and I'm actually here with Jericho, Fatal Knight, Sam Lloyd, Evie, and the whole gang. Wishing you a very, very happy 100th episode. Congratulations, and thanks for having me on. Here's to the next 100.
Amanda, Claire, it's your super fan, Mikhail. Happy goddamn 100th episode anniversary. I am delighted to even be in this celebratory episode. I hope we can get 100 more episodes. I hope we can get 1,000 more episodes. I hope we can get 1,000,000 sexy steampunk sausages, okay? I hope you celebrate your anniversary like you celebrate all of your birthdays. Well, that was it from me.
Hi, Amanda and Claire. This is Rhonda at Rhonda with a Book and Pop DNA Podcast, wishing Fictional Hangover a wonderful 100th episode anniversary. You guys are the best.
Hey, ladies. It's Ashley Rulo. Congratulations on 100 episodes of Fictional Hangover. I'm so proud of you.
This is Kendara Blake, author of the Three Dark Crowns series and occasional guest on Fictional Hangover. Congratulations on 100 episodes! Such a milestone. I'm looking forward to many more excellent cosplays from you and many, many, many more episodes of Fictional Hangover. Congratulations, guys.
Hey, congratulations on your 100th episode. You're the coolest.
Bridget Tyler here, just stopping by to wish Claire and Amanda the happiest of 100th episodes. That's a great achievement, and it's also an awful lot of fictional hangovers. Bet you could use some hum healing. Too bad Tau Ceti is 12 light years away. It'll only take a couple hundred years, and by then, there'll be so many more episodes in the can for us all to enjoy. But in the meantime, congratulations, and I can't wait to join you again on Fictional Hangover.
100 episodes of Fictional Hangover. What an amazing achievement. Congratulations, you guys. Claire and Amanda, you have done incredible work. This is Dawn Kurtigich, and I'm celebrating with you and wishing you 100 more fantastic episodes and 100 after that. Absolutely brilliant. Congratulations.
Yay! It's your 100th episode! You guys are so awesome! Yeah!
We're so excited that we could take part in well, two of your episodes have been casted. Congratulations on 100 episodes!
Hey Claire, hey Amanda, it's Sophie Amos. Happy 100th episode of Fictional Hangover. And yes, the meatloaf came out perfect. In fact, I'm making one right now. Wait, what time is it? Oh shit!
That's it for this live episode of Fictional Hangover. I'm Amanda.
I'm Claire.
Join us next time as we finally discuss Found by PCCast and KristenCast. Contact us if you'd like to join us for an upcoming Would You Rather segment or if you have any books to recommend. Look out for the next Would You Rather poll on social media. Don't forget about our book club and monthly challenges on Facebook. And be sure to visit our shop on Redbubble at fictionalhangover.redbubble.com. That's fictionalhangover.redbubble.com to find all your favorite Fictional Hangover themed merchandise. Until next time, remember, the only cure for a fictional hangover is another book.
You can find us at fictionalhangover.com, follow us on Instagram at fictionalhangover, find us on Facebook at facebook.com/fictionalhangover, and on Twitter at fictionalhangover.er. If you like this episode, check out our others and rate, review and subscribe so you don't miss out. We would be hugely grateful. And finally, thank you to Liz Emerson for our music. You can hear her and find her on Facebook and Patreon. And to Steph Inc. Creations, thank you, thank you, thank you for your beautiful artwork for this episode. You can find her on Instagram, Etsy, and Redbubble. Thanks for joining us.